الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. This is another lesson that we're having for Allah alhamd in reading from the explanation of Al-Usul al-Thalatha by Samahat al-Shaykh Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, and like we've mentioned in previous lessons that we also read from other explanations as well. We apologize, last week the phone turned off, my battery died. So that was the reason why we couldn't continue last week's lesson. In this week's lesson, and that is one of the benefits of sitting with the people of knowledge, because obviously attending a lesson in the masjid and attending a lesson with a scholar or attending a lesson face to face with a student of knowledge, you do not have the deficiencies involved in technology. You don't have the deficiencies involved and technology, wallahu musta'an. Likewise, some of the ulama, rahimahum Allah ta'ala, or some of the ulama of present day also hold the opinion that with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning about the merits of knowledge. And from among those hadiths where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, majtama'a qawman fi baytin min buyutillah, that people do not enter or people do not gather in the house of Allah, studying the religion, reading the Qur'an and the likes, except that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah sends the angels to surround them, and they pile up upon one another until they reach the heavens, and that Allah wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and that Allah wa ta'ala forgives them. The ulama said that the individuals that attend lessons online, and by the way, a phone and the likes of that, they get a reward, but it is not like the reward of an individual that actually attends lessons in person. So if that is an encouragement for our brothers and for our sisters to attend lessons to the best of their ability. In person, you have those who say, and those who hold the opinion that I'd rather stay at home in the comfort of my own home, and they'll accept that. But the reality is, if a person has the ability to attend in person, it is better and more preferred, and it is greater in reward. Now, last week we left off on the issue with the author, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, mentioned with Dalil al-Hajj. After he mentioned the Salat and the Zakat and Tafsir al-Tawheed, then he mentioned the Siyam, and then he mentioned the Hajj. And he said, the Dalil for Hajj, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ in Surah Al-Imran. In Surah Al-Imran, the 97th verse. And Hajj in the Arabic language means intention. Ma'nahu fi al-lugha al-qasd, to intend. And Hajj in the Islamic legislation is to intend the house of Allah for the purpose of performing the pilgrimage. And not in a specific time, in a specific place, specific time, in a specific place. And Hajj is a big part of Muslims once in a lifetime. forms, verbs, stuff, and forms, obligation, to be sincere. Sincerely, this comes from Allah Azza wa Jalla, 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 Azza wa Jalla. And when Allah puts on the name, Allah Azza wa Jalla made taqdeem of who, or Allah mentioned who the Hajj is obligatory for, not upon. When Allah puts on the name, Allah first mentioned who the Hajj is obligatory for, and we say like the object, before the we say the object before the actual verb and the likes. And the linguistics, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that, that informs that it is only for this particular individual. It is only for this particular individual. So the worship that's going to be mentioned, which is the fi'l, which is the verb, in general, we say that the verb comes first, and then we have the object. But when Allah Azza wa Jal places the object first, even before the verb and the likes, then we know that that is specific in the Arabic language. It is to inform you of the fact that it is specifically for this individual. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجِّ الْبَيْتِ. For Allah, upon the people, is to make Hajj. That informs you that the Hajj is specifically for Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has to be done sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And another example of that, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Indeed, you we worship. The origin is that we say we worship you. The origin is that we say we worship you. But when you say إِيَّاكَ, it is you we worship, that informs of the sincerity, the obligation of sincerity. So the Hajj must be performed sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Hajj was something that was in the legislation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as you can find in the Quran, وَعَدَّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَعْتُوكَ الرِّجَالِ. As Allah said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and give the call to Hajj. You have in the Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, that Allah said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and give the call to Hajj, and the men would come from every, in kulli fajjin amik, the men would come from every valley, liyashhadu manafi'a lahum, so that they can witness that which is a benefit for them. So that they can witness that which is a benefit for them. So Hajj was something that was legislated before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when was it made obligatory upon the Muslims? It was made obligatory upon the Muslims in the 9th year of Hijrah, after the migration, the 9th year of Hijrah. But our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make Hajj the 9th year. Because, and the reason for that is because the Mushrikun, they still used to make Hajj, and the Mushrikun used to make Tawaf around the Kaaba, Ariyanin, they used to make Tawaf around the Kaaba, naked. And this was from old. And this is because of their distortion in their belief and their understanding and their practice. Because the Mushrikun from amongst the Quraysh, they still, and this also shows you that they still had some of the legislation of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but obviously they were distorted because they had over 300 asnam. They had over 300 asnam in the Kaaba itself. But the Mushrikun still used to perform the Hajj. And they were of the opinion that a person could not make Tawaf around the house of Allah Azza wa Jal wearing clothing that was purchased with money that was not halal, or wearing clothing that they had disobeyed Allah in. This was the i'tiqad of the Mushrikun, that they could not make Tawaf around the Kaaba of Allah Azza wa Jal wearing clothing that they had disobeyed Allah in, or wearing clothing that was not purchased with permissible forms of wealth. So if they could not find that, then they would make tawaf naked. They would make tawaf naked. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, from the hikmah of Allah, is that Allah Azza wa Jal would not allow His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be around anything indecent, nor to be seen in a state of indecency. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he became a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one time he wanted to pick up a stone to carry, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to pull up his izar so he can cover his shoulder and place the stone. Allah Azza wa Jal would not allow this. Allah Azza wa Jal would not allow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be seen in an indecent manner. I didn't hear it. So, the mushrikun, they had this i'tiqad, and that was no one could wear clothing that was purchased with money that wasn't halal. They couldn't wear this type of clothing around the Kaaba, nor could they wear clothing around the Kaaba that they disobeyed Allah in. So if they could not find clothing that was not totally pure, they would make tawaf naked. Now, the ninth year of Hijrah was when Hajj was made obligatory. And it came upon the Muslims to make the Hajj. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah forbade him from making the Hajj that year. Instead, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali to announce that no mushrik would make tawaf around the Kaaba, and no one could make tawaf around the Kaaba in a state of being naked, in a state of being unclothed. So Ali went to inform the people of this, and the individual who led the Hajj that year was Abu Bakr. The individual who led the Hajj that year was Abu Bakr, because from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the time of the Salaf, the individual who would lead the Hajj was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, was the leader of the believers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make Hajj the ninth year, but instead sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made Hajj the tenth year, and that was Hajjat al-Wada'. That was the farewell pilgrimage which was performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it was the only Hajj that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in his lifetime, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, so that informs you of the obligation of Hajj. That statement of Allah Azza wa Jal from Surah Al Imran, and in the statement Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, "Walillahi 'ala an-nasi hajjul bayti man istata'a." For Allah, upon the people is to perform the Hajj whoever has the ability. And keep in mind, I'm summarizing that which Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, having Allah Ta'ala mentioned, I'm summarizing it instead of reading it word for word. Al-Istita'a, the ability. You have Al-Istita'a al-Maliya wa Al-Istita'a al-Badaniya. You have Al-Istita'a al-Maliya. You have the ability in terms of wealth. And you have Al-Istita'a al-Badaniya. You have the ability in terms of your body, your physical ability. If an individual doesn't have the means financially to make the Hajj, then the Hajj is not obligatory upon them. The Hajj is not obligatory upon them if they don't have the money. And the ulama mentioned, rahimahumullah ta'ala, the ulama mentioned, and keep in mind when I say rahimahumullah, that may be the ulama who have passed away, or it might be the ulama who are still present. It might be the ulama who are still present. It's permissible to say rahimahumullah. Now, so the ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala, they say that istita' al-maliyah, the ability as it relates to wealth, this refers to the ability to buy or to purchase the means to get to Mecca, and the ability to stay in Mecca during the time of the Hajj, and the ability to return, and the money to be with your family so that they can support themselves while you are away. Once again, ulama say that you have the financial means, that you have the financial means to get to Mecca, whether that is by plane or whether that's by car or whatever type of transportation. You have the financial means. Likewise, or second, you have the financial means to support yourself while you are in Mecca. And third, that you have the financial means to get back from Mecca. And fourth, you have the financial means to leave money with your family so that they can support themselves while you are away. This is that which is mentioned by the ulama, rahimahullah ta'ala, in their many books on the affair of Hajj. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Habibullah ta'ala, he mentions it in his book. And he mentions how it's not befitting that individuals, for one, when they get to Mecca, they beg from others. And that's why it was revealed in the Quran, because you had individuals that would do so. So individuals that would make Hajj, and when they got to Mecca, they would beg. They didn't have money. And that's why it was revealed by Allah. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى And prepare for verily, the best preparation is taqwa. The ulama mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the reason why that verse was revealed is because you had individuals that would make Hajj and they wouldn't have any provisions, they wouldn't have any means. So this is, na'am. And we understand that istita' man istita' ilayhi sabila. We understand the condition of having the means from the verse itself. Right. Also, like the Sheikh mentioned, Sheikh Salaf mentioned, it's upon an individual to leave his family with enough provisions to support themselves until he returns. And this is something very important. And we do not leave our families without the ability to support themselves. And we say, I'm doing it feasibilillah, so Allah would support them. No, this is not the way of the believer. The way of the believer is that you leave your family with provisions. The way of the believer is that you leave your family with provisions. As it was done by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You had the hadith of Sa'd, where the Prophet, where he was about to die, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was about to die, and he wants to give away all of his wealth, and he had one daughter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade him from doing so. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade him from doing so. He said, it is better to leave your family rich than to leave them having to beg from the people. Then there's another issue, that is, what about the individual who has a debt? The ulama mentioned that if an individual has a debt, and the debt can be paid by the money for Hajj, then he has to give the debt. He has to pay the debt. He doesn't make the Hajj. But if the individual has a good portion of money, it won't cover the debt, but it would cover a good portion of the debt, then the individual has to seek the permission of the individual who the debt is for. Because it's possible that the debt can pay half or a third by way of the Hajj money, so the person should give taqdeen, they should give precedence to the debt. And this is that what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala is of that opinion. He's of that opinion that the person, if they have a good amount of wealth, which can pay a portion of the debt, then they have to seek permission from the individual. Why? Because if the person was to pay, the debt, or a portion of the debt, that's incumbent upon him. And if he had no money after that, then the Hajj is not incumbent upon him. That's one. Two, the Hajj is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal can forgive the person for that which is between him and the individual. But Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive you that which is between you and the people. If you have a right of an individual, then you would stand for that right on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the beginning of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray on an individual as long as he did not die with a debt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to the janazah and say, does he have a debt? If he was informed that the person did not have a debt, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray over him. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that the person had a debt, he would not pray over him. Then later on, what took place? Did the Prophet overlook it? No. Later on, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pay the debt himself and then pray over the individual. So it shows you the importance of paying back the debts. Now, also, al-istita'a al-badaniya, the means as it relates to your body, the means that relates to your physical ability. Now, this is also from the istita'a. This is also from the means. You have to have the means. You have to have the good health to get to Mecca, to dwell in Mecca, to return from Mecca. If a person is sick, and they don't have the ability, then they should wait. If the marad is muzman, if the marad is something that will continue with the individual, then the hajj is not obligatory upon them. They can pay someone else to make the hajj for them. They can pay someone else to make the hajj for them. And what do they give that individual? Do they only give them money to survive in Mecca? No, they give them every single thing. They pay for the plane ride or for the bus ride or for the car. They pay for them while they're in Mecca, the hotel stay, whatever. They pay for them to return and for them to support their family. And for them to support their family while they are away. Fine. There's another condition, and that is the extra condition for the female, and that is she cannot travel except with who? Except with a mahram. A female cannot travel except with a mahram, because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported in Sahih Muslim that a woman who believes in Allah on the last day, she doesn't travel except ma'a bil mahram. She doesn't travel except with a male relative. Except with a male relative. If she has wealth and she has physical ability, but she does not have a mahram, then the hajj is not obligatory upon her. Then the hajj is not obligatory upon her. A mas'ala. If the woman has the wealth and she has the physical ability and she travels without a mahram, and she travels without a mahram, is the hajj invalid? No, the hajj is valid, but she has committed a sin. The hajj is valid, but she has committed a sin. A major sin. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qad nafa anha al-iman. It is a major sin because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has negated from her faith. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تسافر المرأة التي تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر لا تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman who believes in Allah and the last day does not travel except with the mahram. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negating faith from her informs that it is a kabira, informs that it is a major sin. So the hajj is accepted, but she has a major sin. She has a major sin. Another masala. If a woman takes the incorrect fatwa, or is it for a woman, afwan, the masala should be mentioned as, is it correct for a woman to say that I'm traveling, to say that I'm traveling with a group of women to make the hajj? This is also not accepted. Because the women during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could have traveled, they could have done the same. And with regards to the legislation, it is not permissible for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to delay clarification at the time of need. It is not permissible. This is a principle in terms of fiqh, in terms of legislation. It is not permissible for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to delay clarification at the time of need. When those men came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or those women came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked about a woman traveling, if it was permissible, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been the first one to inform them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very diligent, was very merciful to his ummah. Allah wants ease for the ummah. So if something was permissible, would it be, when a'udhu billah, would Allah overlook it? Would his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam overlook it? No. So just like it was possible for women during the time of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to travel in groups, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow them to do so. He still forbade them from doing so. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is not permissible that which some fatawa have saying that women can travel in groups. That is not permissible. Two. Is it, the third masala, can a woman take the fatwa that a mahram can drop her at the airport? She can travel on the plane by herself and another mahram picks her up in the city. Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala and many from the ulama, they said that is also an incorrect fatwa. That is also an incorrect fatwa. Why? Once again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a woman who believes in Allah on the last day does not travel without a mahram. So a mahram dropping her and her traveling alone and another mahram receiving her doesn't go in accordance to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one. Two, it could have been done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uktitibt. Ya Rasulullah, I have been written and registered for this jihad. And my wife has made hajj. Did the Prophet ﷺ say to the individual, well, is there another mahram in Mecca to receive her? The Prophet didn't ask that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is another qa'idah that the ulama mentioned, with something could have taken place during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the means, all of the means were present, and with that the Prophet didn't allow it, shows you that it was forbidden. Shows you that was forbidden. Meaning, during the time of the Prophet, you had, you had individuals who had family in Medina and they had family in Mecca. Stay with me. You had individuals who had family in Medina and they had family in Mecca. So they had the same elements. They had the same elements. That's one. Two, the timing of the Hajj was known. The timing of the Hajj was known. So somebody might say, but, you know, it's not the same because, the mahram during our time, they know, for example, the flight details, the itinerary, so they know when the woman's going to arrive. So it's not the same. No, during the time of the Prophet, they knew when Hajj was. Hajj is specific days. Hajj is specific days. Somebody might say, but how would they know what day she's going to arrive? During the time of the Prophet, they knew exactly how many days it took to arrive from Mecca to Al-Medina. They knew exactly how many days it took walking a normal pace or on camel. They knew how many days it would take roughly in arriving from Mecca to Al-Medina or from Medina to Mecca. They knew that. They knew that. So, the timing of the woman arriving, not the exact time that she's going to arrive, but the day she's going to arrive could have been known during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, so with that being the case, all of the elements were present. And even with that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow it to take place, informed you that it was definitely forbidden. It informs you that it was definitely forbidden. That's one. Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala also adds to this argument, where he mentions that what's to guarantee you that the woman boards the plane or the bus or the car, and something won't happen, and something doesn't happen in between, so she doesn't reach the final destination where the mahram is waiting for her. And wallahi to lahi, it takes place. You have a woman getting on the plane, her mahram drops her. And then before she lands in England or before she lands in America and the likes of that, something happens to the plane and the plane has to make an emergency landing in another state or in another country where she doesn't have a mahram. Now what are you going to say? What are you going to say? So the reality is, we should not try to avoid and run from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it causes us difficulty. Very in it, we have the mercy of our Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. Naam. So this is that which is mentioned with regards to the Hajj. And the following statement of Allah in the same surah, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever disbelieves, verily Allah is self-sufficient from all of mankind. فِيهِ دِلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ امْتَنَعَ عَنِ الْحَجِّ وَهُوَ يَقْتُلُ وَلَمْ يَحُجْ فَإِنَّهُ كَافِرُونَ. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, in this statement of Allah, and whoever disbelieves, after mentioning the Hajj, and whoever disbelieves, then Allah is self-sufficient from all of the worlds. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala said, in it is a proof that the person who does not make Hajj, and they have the ability, then this person has disbelieved. Then this person has disbelieved. But then he says, وَهُوَ قَادِرَ عَلَىٰ فَإِنَّ هَذَا كُفْرٌ قَدْ يَكُونُ كُفْرًا أَصْغَرَ كَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ جَاهِدًا لِوُجُوبِهِ هَذَا أَقْفَرَ أَقْدَرَ بِإِجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَةِ أَوْ هَذَا كُفْرٌ أَقْبَرَ بِإِجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَةِ. He mentioned that this kufr, where Allah says, and whoever disbelieves, then Allah is self-sufficient. This kufr may be major disbelief or minor disbelief. Major disbelief is the person who has the ability to make the Hajj. And we mentioned ability is two. Financial ability and physical ability. And the third for the female, which is a mahram. The person who has the ability, but they don't make the Hajj, they fall under two categories. One, they say it's not obligatory. Hajj is not obligatory. I don't have to spend my money or my time to make Hajj. It is not obligatory. This person has left the fold of Islam because they are denying something which is known in the Quran and known by way of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a major kufr that takes him out of the fold of Islam. But you have the second category, that is a person that says, I know Hajj is obligatory. I know it's obligatory. It's in the Quran, it's in the Sunnah, but I'm lazy, I don't feel the need to make Hajj. You know, I know it's obligatory, I know it's a sin upon me, but I'm just lazy, Allah forgive me, I'm not gonna make the Hajj. This person has performed a minor kufr, which doesn't take them out of the fold of Islam, but it is a major sin. But it is a major sin. Now, then the author mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, Al-Murtabat Al-Thaniya. He started with the three Muratib, or he's talking about the three Muratib. Al-Islam, like he mentioned previously, Al-Islam. Al-Islam was, as we mentioned, the Salat, and the Tawheed, which is the Shahadatain, and the Zakat, and the Hajj, and the Siyam. We'll finish that. Now we mentioned the second level is Al-Iman. الإيمان وهو بدعون وسبعون شعبة and it is 70 something branches فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله. The highest branch is the statement of faith. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. وأدناها إماتة العذى عن الطريق and the lowest branch is to remove something harmful from the path. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان and shyness is one of the branches of Iman. This is that which we will read next week. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Allah knows best. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.